Hello, everyone. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I thought I'm going to stay silent until I see someone chat. Normally, there is a pre-show discussion, and now I was seeing there's no one chatting tonight. So I thought I will stay silent until you guys start speaking. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Welcome to JFG tonight. Today, I discovered something that I have been thinking about for 20 years. It is not often that you get to finally try something that you've been dreaming about for 20 years, but I've had such a busy life, I never really got to it. Today, I played EVE Online. Oh my God, this game! It's a 20-year-old game that is absolutely addictive. I've been delaying trying it because I knew it was dangerous. I knew I would totally get an addict of this. So people have been talking to me about this game since the very beginning. And I had made a shy attempt at just trying to see how it goes, but I played like 5 minutes and I was like, no. But today I made a serious attempt at getting into the game, and oh my God, this is one of the most crazy game ever. I've been dreaming for a very long time. I've been telling you guys, I would like to see an MMORPG that is massive, that has millions of people in it, and they construct a whole universe, and there's a whole real economy. And every time I said these things, people were telling me, Jeff, that's EVE Online. That's really what it is. And I was like, I know, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to try it. Today I tried it. I became a miner and industrial producer, started trading some rocks in the galaxy. And it is an exciting game, let me tell you. I have to get off from it or else I will be forever addicted to it. It is an absolutely insane, like, addiction creating, super long, super slow game in the end. EVE Online, if you're looking at losing the next 10 years of your life, go check out EVE Online. It is something. Barnaby Buto says, I've got like 7 years of Plex stored, but haven't touched the game in 3 years. You need to make your way to NullSec. Well, yeah, I mean, today was just a first day, so I've just been learning through the NPC factions and all, but the complexity of the economy in this, holy shit. There is an actual market in the game. You don't get to sell stuff at the other side of the galaxy. You need to transport stuff one by one. If you're tired of transporting, you need to hire someone who's going to transport stuff. It is reality. It is so fascinating. Absolutely crazy, crazy game. And Barnaby Brito, the Plex are worth a lot. The Plex, I had 100 Plex. I sold them for $500 million today. That was just 100 Plex. So $500 million for Plex, $500 million, $500 million ISK, as they call it. Villains Through Modern Eyes says, hey, Papa, sales, psychology, and pickup game, is there a difference? Definitely there is. There is an overlap. And I talk actually about this overlap in the Moral Signal. It's the overlap of the relationship between a provider and an advertiser. So if you want to think about the first economic interactions, must have been a gift, must have been some kind of generosity. And if you want to think of the human economy, and this touches actually on EVE Online too, if you want to have a whole theory of human economy as a whole, you can think of, okay, well, at first someone hunts a deer. He cannot eat the whole deer. The deer has very little value. After the first few chops that you ate, now, if you don't have a fridge, the rest of the deer is almost worth nothing to you. Okay, you feed your family. Now what? The rest of the deer really is worth nothing to you. So because it's going to go bad before you can even eat it. And so you start having generosity. You start having the discounted value of things because they spoil, because they rot, creates an economy of gifting. And the economy of gifting is as follows. Well, at first it may be you give to anyone that's around you. But eventually, there is a difference between giving to the right person and giving to the wrong person. And what is it? Well, the right person to give to would be someone who can return the favor at some point. So someone who's capable of hunting their own deer is much more valuable as a target for giving than someone who you know will always be too weak to hunt a deer themselves. So then you enter the second layer of the economy, which is once you're above giving, what is it? Well, it's trade. Because then it's how much value am I, if I'm investing in that guy with deer meat, I'm basically causing him in the future to give me back deer meat if he's a quality guy. But if he's an old man who cannot walk, then my giving is worth nothing. Then it's really throwing the meat out the window. And to maximize, the person who has property wants to maximize the returns and store his energy in the form of deer meat for future deer meat. And future deer meat has much more value for the full stomach than current deer meat. So you start having an economy of futures and an economy of time delays. And in that economy, the property haver is really looking for characteristics, trust and long-term trust and reciprocity. And so therefore you have a whole society that is trying to advertise to this man who has too much meat, I am the right target for your donation. So you have a pressure for advertisement, and that pressure for advertisement is the exact same position. This is where it overlaps with the dating world. That pressure for advertisement is the same position that the man finds themselves in front of the woman. The woman expects an advertisement of the man's quality. And a lot of people tend to think, but they are fooled. They are fooled by the cosmetics and the superficiality. They tend to think that women are the advertiser, because they're displaying a lot of stuff related to physical appearance. They're wearing makeups. That would look like the woman's side is the advertising side. And they are advertising for something. But the man has the same challenge as the benefaction receiver in the deer meat case. The man has to advertise for future value, whereas mostly the woman is advertising for current value. And that is the overlap, because you have to get rid of your current deer meat to get future deer meat. And the woman has to get rid of her current eggs for future paternal care. And it's the same operation. It's a promise based on advertisement, which is why, despite the fact that, which is why woman advertisement is centered around her current status. Woman, when you marry a woman, you're not excited at the possibility that she may become a millionaire. You're not excited at the possibility that she may have a costly car. Nothing is more of a turnoff than a woman who comes with a costly SUV. Because you know that woman cost more to maintain. And you know there's some man somewhere who paid for that SUV. And yet the man is advertising in the domain of the future potentiality, which is why the man is a musician. The man charms the woman with intelligence, comedy, cognitive structure demonstrations that he has intelligence in his analysis of society, and he's capable of generating enough high IQ for future, a high IQ which will be useful to her in the future. And cars, a man with a car is an indicator of wealth, whereas a woman with a car is an indicator of cost. So there you have the whole relationship on which any trade is based on is property havers versus trying to get rid of their overstocks, which is the woman with the eggs in biology. And the, how do they call it? The guy, you know, not the concubine, but the pretender. The pretender is the one who must advertise future quality, which is why all acts of male demonstration in the dating moment are all future oriented. Why does it matter that the man is funny? It doesn't matter at all that the woman is funny. No one gives a shit. The man is funny. He's demonstrating future capabilities to provide, to handle future IIQ situations that the woman cannot know in advance. So she knows, okay, I have a good basis, a good cognitive basis here on which to build. TikTok has blocked the legging legs trend. I find this quite ridiculous. So it is now illegal on TikTok to be wearing those leggings. And to be clear, what they are alarmed about is the rectangularity of this intersection between the two legs and the vagina is too rectangular and is unachievable for most women because most women will become too fat. And really, it's an Asian feature. I mean, you have white women who are not at all fat. They still will have a rounded hip that will lead to thighs being more internal and therefore being more in contact. But that is mostly an Asian thing with the boyish female look of Asians. And ultimately, it is a sign of being very, very thin. Personally, I don't think it's a necessary aspect of female beauty. You can be absolutely beautiful without this. It's kind of weird, actually, this rectangular shape. But it had become a trend on Twitter. And of course, like, it's 1% of the women on Earth can pull this. But now it's illegal on TikTok. They will ban your video. What are legging legs and why is there a new insecurity on this app every week? I mean, they are a sign of great female achievement, which is remaining thin. And so I find it ridiculous that we would be banning this. Marion Nafal was saying the thigh gap trend is making a comeback, pressuring young girls to achieve things that don't touch, thighs that don't touch, often leading to extreme starvation. TikTok has responded by banning videos that promote this harmful trend. These types of trends are destructive. While we applaud TikTok for removing the hashtag and replacing it with links to eating disorder resources, space needs to be given for continued conversation and education on the fact that self-worth is not determined by one's body. The left has taken over the trends at TikTok. I don't know about this whole eating disorder thing because I think there are many people who fall into anorexia and it may be the most healthy path to be depriving yourself of food in 2024 might not be a bad idea. I think we are over-diagnosing in the domain of anorexia. I believe that once anorexia reaches the point of the person falling unconscious, perhaps that's something you want to have a disorder for. But if it's someone just obsessing about their weight, the reality is it is a great matter in your beauty level, how fat you are. And it is a great matter of health. And I would like to know, the anorexic people, because they they will all get out of this trend at some point in adult life. They will go back to a regular diet, although they will tend to remain thinner. I'm wondering, when is it that the anorexics actually will outlive the average person? I think it may already be the case. There's so much disease related to fat people. I think the anorexic probably outlives. So what's a disorder here? Is the disorder being a normie? Or is the disorder being an anorexic? Because the anorexic probably lives longer. Stephen Robinson says, the reality is you're fat. Yes, that is true. And it's a reality that we're going to have to show the next generations how to not become too fat. Insider paper says, Elon Musk says that farming has no material effect on climate change. It's an interesting theory. I don't know that we know this, but it's an interesting theory. This whole conception that whatever the cows are doing, you can account it. You can start counting the farts of the cows. But the problem is, if the cow wasn't there, what would happen? Well, the grass would be digested outside of a cow stomach. The farmers would have to cultivate other things than meat. The grass itself would be digested by bacteria, and the bacteria would fart themselves. But you wouldn't be counting the bacteria farts. That's a problem. That's a problem of accounting in this whole leftist trend of wanting to control nature. We have here a shooting between black kids at some high school.
Cody?
They're trying to jump my nigga. You're right, Cody.
Niggas holding each other's
strength. Oh! Oh, strength!
Yeah, so you don't want to let your kids hang out with people on the streets or around high schools. They have become dangerous. 4chan has declared a new trend in the AI world, and I find it absolutely amazing. Hashtag Dignify. It's an AI that is meant to restore female morality on the internet by combating the ethos, by giving them proper clothing through the power of AI. Look at this. You pick a porn person on Twitter who publishes her soft porn pictures. Who wants to keep me warm? And the Dignify AI says, keep your dignity, and he adds clothes to her that she wasn't wearing so that she is now more decent. And let me tell you, the Dignify AI has been outperforming ETOTS. I find systematically that the women are more beautiful on the modification of Dignify AI. Look at this one. Tell me I'm wrong. Is this more beautiful or is this more beautiful? Personally, I think this is more beautiful. They removed the tattoo on her arms. They reduced the display of her boobs. This was all useless display of the belly and boobs. It's way too much. Part of the key behind proper female clothes is that the male imagination is way more powerful than anything you could generate in reality. So I imagine a beautiful woman under this dress. If anything, when I see her boobs, they are way too big. So I'd rather not see them, and you can imagine them at their best size. So another case, Dignify off, Dignify activated. Absolutely more beautiful, a woman like this. Here, a detattooed woman. I mean, this is stunning. This is much more beautiful than this. Even the earrings have been kind of modified into classier ones. They've removed the nose ear, the front earring. She even had a earring right here in the throat or whatever. Absolutely more beautiful here, the Dignify modification. And for all these thoughts who pose with these, look at this. Lower underwear totally displays her ugly hips and thigh. Absolutely disgusting. You just dress her properly, deinflate her boobs and her hips a little bit, and she has been dignified. Dan Simmons says, oh no, is the face tat real? Yeah, yeah. You would think that the face tat has been added by trolls. No, at this point, the trolls of the internet are imposing the morals back onto reality. New guy says, Dignify AI is just another set of morals trying to get likes. Yeah, of course, I don't think it's going to have a massive cultural effect, but I mean, it plays with the competition that I predicted about AI. If AI is there competing with ethos, both on the side of, hey, I can create an AI-generated woman that's more beautiful than your pictures, and she's as slutty as you. And then AI also comes on the side of dignity and says, hey, I can even create a more dignified woman. The ethots are not going to know in which direction to go. They're going to be running like chicken without heads. It's going to be beautiful. The thoughtpocalypse is coming. J. Otto Paul says, because I am poor and work in a very low prestige job, most people automatically assume I am stupid. Given that money is the only thing that counts in the US, they are probably right. Getting a PhD and wasting time applying for academic jobs rather than making money was stupid. Absolutely. PhD will not bring you much far in life. It's all going to boil down to, do you have the contacts that will force your hiring somewhere or not? And you can develop these contacts by showing your talents on the market rather than be eternally in school and trying to get all these diplomas. You know, I like the fact that I have a PhD, but most people who get in that path will regret it. And it will have been a massive amount of time loss. It was definitely time loss for me. Imagine I had started care... I started caring about having a place to live and paying a house at 35 years old. Now, thankfully, I'm a massive risk taker and I rose with this YouTube career and everything. So everything went well for me. But if you consider the path of getting a PhD, consider the fact that you may be neutralized in your capacity to own a home before you're 33, 34, 35, you're going to have 15 years, a late start by 15 years on any other person who has engaged in, who has thought seriously about how do I survive and buy a home in my life. Nick says, get into a trade when you're 15 unless you want to be a medical doctor or lawyer. Yeah, exactly. A white TikToker calls white people milk crickets.
Hi, fellow white people. Black History Month is tomorrow. Let's not do anything.
Oh my God, I can't believe that these people... she looks like she's probably a teacher or something. I can't believe we let people like this talk to our kids at all. That anyone does this. I have bad news for her. Black History Month has already been messed up. Jack Posobiec went on a campaign meant to rename the current month the White History Month. And it's an interesting thought experiment. You know, he's putting out fake memes of Taylor Swift saying white nationalist stuff and saying happy white history month. I don't like the idea of deceiving people, like putting out fake quotes of Taylor Swift. I wouldn't do it. But it's an interesting thought experiment. Like, if we had to have a white people's month, would we set it in the same month as the black people's month? Or would we take different parts of the year? It's interesting from a claim to equality in the domain of identitarianism to say yes, which is what we've been arguing for since 2016. You know, if white people were to just have 50% or 25% of the racial solidarity of other people, they would be a force not to mess with. Rodila Sid says, I don't care about Black History Month since by default, every other month is White History Month. You don't even have to say it. It's the norm. Well, now we have Jack Posobiec promoting February as White History Month.
Thing to ruin it this year. Okay, my fellow milk crickets, we're going to be good this year.
I don't think you're white. I think you're very likely Jewish looking at your facial features.
Yes, we are. And if we are, maybe you'll get a prize. But you have to be good.
No, we're not interested at pleasing you and getting a prize from you. But see, she has the talk of an elementary school teacher. You're going to get a prize. Prize if you don't mess Black History Month. Well, fuck Black History Month and fuck your prize. The media is upset. Teachers won't be able to talk about sex every day. An interaction between a Canadian journalist and the Alberta premier?
For my second question, I mean, I can already hear the school officials just dreading the paperwork required to opt every single student into every single lesson that touches on sex education, gender identity, and sexual orientation. I mean, some people might predict that teachers would now avoid those lessons to get around that extra work when they're already so busy. So can you explain why making it harder for children to learn about sexual health is a benefit?
Mm-hmm. Well, the journalist here seems to be saying it's going to be a bureaucratic nightmare recording every single place where we talk about sex and gender identity. And the politician here is absolutely right. Are you telling me that there are so many math textbook examples and French and English textbook examples that refer to sex and LGBT that it's basically impossible bureaucratically to say, hey, we're going to take these, we're going to put them aside in an LGBT specialized class, and parents are going to be able to choose?
Well, I guess if teachers are indeed talking to kids about sex every single day, every day of the school year, then I guess that this policy has demonstrated why we need to put it in place.
She's totally right. If you're telling me that teachers are talking sex every day with all of their bias for anal sex and oral sex and homosexual sex, if you're telling me that this is impossible to divide administratively, then we needed a law yesterday. This news is totally heartbreaking for the FTX people. People who got brought into this whole SBF holding the bitcoins for them. FTX will refund Bitcoin to customers at prices below $18,000. That is absolutely scandalous. FTX has taken people's Bitcoin. The bankruptcy people and bankruptcy special administration took over, sold their bitcoins, perhaps, I don't know, or they kept it, but they kept it and they're going to cash in on the profit, releasing less to the people by assigning them a value at the moment of bankruptcy rather than, if you compare to Mt. Gox, the case of Mt. Gox, they held the Bitcoin. And when they reimbursed that Bitcoin 7 years, 8 years, 10 years later, that Bitcoin is super high value. So basically, people are not so sad of having been scammed in the Mt. Gox things because their value has been preserved. But if you have cases of fraud like this and you clamp the price to the Bitcoin at the moment of the seizure, you are absolutely a fraud. And bankruptcy fraud, the bankruptcy court here, it is the fraudulent entity along with the bankruptcy administration. A New York court has ruled that a father cannot stop his 8-year-old son from taking puberty blockers to begin his transition to a girl. The father claims the boy's mother pushed their son into transitioning and began dressing his son in girls' clothes when he was 3. He found out his son was trans when he received a letter from the kindergarten referring to him as Ruby and using she, her pronouns. Absolutely scandalous. We need to abolish family court, replace them with absolute right of parents. And in the case of divorces, in the case when the female has went away, we must give absolutely equal power to the male such that when a decision like this is done, it goes on the desk of the man and the man has to decide whether that kind of reassignment will happen. And in 99%, just give power. Just give power to males. In 99%, they're going to say no. And fuck the one person that we lose, they were due to not reproduce. The transformed wife says the worst thing that could ever happen to a mother happened to Rach for patriarchy. She lost her 10-year-old son in a tragic accident caused by a 12-year-old boy. The judge was going to throw the books at him and his parents. Rachel pleaded for mercy for them. She's an example of Christ-like forgiveness, mercy, and grace. She should be praised for what she has done in her grief rather than ridiculed and mocked as some are doing. Pray for Rachel and her family. I totally agree here with the transformed wife. Completely ridiculous attacks being thrown by Brittany Venti right now onto Rachel and Andrew Wilson. And I don't cover much of it. I talked about it only once, and now it's the second time. But because I don't like giving oxygen to stupid arguments like this. Kurt Doolittle is noting that Scott Adams is making progress after having touched the racial question months ago. Scott Adams is now asking, is the wokeness crisis primarily caused by women? Well, what do you think? And I know it's not all women now because I have a spectacular girlfriend. Really, guys, I have scored the top of the top. I'm touching the sun at this point. Nothing above my head. So I now know that it's not all women for sure, but it's a coalition of evil women that are below, you know, the below the 50% mark, the lowest levels of women that are getting together and pushing this wokeness through their institutional power, through their presence in elementary school and their place in the education chain. I think that the big error we've done when we started converting in civilization, when we started converting the service that women were doing to the education chain into a job, we totally messed up the link between the teacher and the student. When it was a woman doing this on her street and mostly caring about her children and sometimes being the daycare person for maybe another family or two or three other families, that was working because it was still genetically aligned. It was still a mother trying to be her best and sometimes delivering services on the side to other family, extended family members or people who were close enough to her to be invested in the quality of her teaching. But when men were away for work, trusting women, and women converted that educational role into, oh, well, now I'm an elementary school teacher. Now I'm a daycare specialist. Now we have itemized the specialty of these women. We've made it kind of an industrial chain of production. And most importantly, we have disconnected the massively important genetic link between the woman who cares and the person she provides care to. At this point, we've basically assumed that the genetic interest of the mother in her child is subject to USD convertibility. It's not. And that is the big error. I've seen in the state-run operated daycares of Canada, there are women who get paid to care for 5 children. They also get paid to get a pregnancy break so that they have their own children. And when their children make it to their daycare, they are kept from caring for their own children. They take her own children and they put it with another group cared for by another daycare specialist. As if the intent of this whole system is the scrambling of genetic interest. It's like, at least if accidentally these professional women do end up making babies, at least let them care for them. But no, we don't want any preferential treatment, so we fuck up the kid so that at least every kid is equally fucked up. That is very worrying. This is a woman who has massive potential if she can stop working at Kmart.
Why is it that...
Look at this. She's dressed absolutely uglily, okay? But that's okay. She is being decent on the video. But you can see that below this poncho is an extremely sexy woman. Look at the brightness of her blue eyes. I've rarely seen this. This is a woman who's been farmed on EVE Online or something for like 20 years. I've seen blue eyes. Blue eyes are always charming, but I've never seen blue eyes that pale. Those are almost not blue anymore. So they're almost like pale gray. And she has blonde hair, probably tinted, but okay. If she dresses and starts putting in her head to please a husband, she can score an absolute top husband, I'm sure.
I have to work 40 hours a week just so I can have a place to live. 40 hours a week makes me $2,000 a month, and my rent is $1,660. So I work 40 hours a week so I can have a 2-bedroom apartment and an extra $300 a month. Like, it doesn't cover my phone, internet, food, you know? So not only do I not have any extra money, but just working makes me so exhausted that I don't have time either. Like, I get off work at 5:30, come home, and I'm just so tired. I'm so tired that, like, anything that I need to do outside of work, I then just push off to like the weekend. And I'm like, I'm just too tired to do this after work. I'll wait until Saturday. So then I end up with so much to do on the weekend that ends up having to be split into 2 days. So I have to do stuff on both Saturday and Sunday. So then I don't get a day off. I don't get a day to relax. I don't get to decompress. So it is really like working 7 days a week. Constant.
Well, you have to dedicate your life to finding a husband of quality. Where did you get it that you needed a 2-bedroom apartment? you need a two-bedroom apartment if you have a family, and you absolutely need to divide because the kids are getting old. You're not there. So follow the transformed wife on Twitter and just learn this one thing. If you can just be pleasant to a man, you're going to get all of your problems solved because you are a woman of quality. You don't even need to be at the service of the man. If you can just be not disruptive of the man's life and respect the fact that he works hard to maintain your life, you're going to get better than a two-bedroom apartment. And yes, Rodita said, you're right. Why doesn't she live in a pod? Yeah, exactly. You know how? Because she pays her apartment $1,600. So she got inflated in her desire to live well. Papa JF, when he lives in an apartment, you know what was the cost of my first apartment? $315 a month. Boom! I'm looking at the room I'm in right now, doing this studio thing here, doing this show. My first apartment was smaller than this room. My first apartment at $315 a month was half of this room I'm in right now. I could literally extend my arms and touch the two sides of the walls. And I'm not talking to you about a small apartment in New York here. I'm talking to you about a small apartment in St. Jerome. Like, living alongside the poorest people of society. She doesn't want this. She wants the comfortable life. She wants expensive places. She chooses these places. So she has to abandon choice, lady. Abandon choice to a man. A man will guide you toward the right places. He may even be able to pay for a whole house. But if he's not, at least you're going to make better apartment decisions. Stephen Robinson says, my first apartment was 420 Vancouver, BC, West Side Walk to the Beach. Yeah, and part of it is inflation. But I'm sure you go back to my apartment that I took when I was in Cégep. I'm sure you go back to it and it's not $1,000. I'm sure it's still a very low price apartment. Because it was literally just a room with a toilet in it. Like, it's awkward, actually, where your toilet is, your toilet, your kitchen, everything is in the same room, almost. There's just kind of a little cover to separate the toilet from the rest. I had a fridge that didn't even have two parts. It was a mini fridge that didn't have a freezer. Where, you know, these mini fridge where the freezer is actually the condenser and it's located inside the fridge. So it's like the freezer is leaking some cold and the leak is set to be just enough to keep the rest cold. Oh man, this freezer was so cheap. This fridge was so cheap. It was accumulating ice and then eventually the ice was taking over the whole freezer. And I had to clean it with a hammer. Oh my God, that was awesome. But see, yeah, you can live that kind of life. If you're making $2,000 a month, you should only go for this or live at your parents' house. Because $2,000 a month, you're going to get drained from your wealth always. What you have to do, lady, and look at her. She has to tighten her hair, flatten these hair. Now, it's okay that you're wearing this poncho on your webcam, but get yourself some nice clothes, be a trad woman, advertise your trad value, and advertise your willingness to please a man. Is that too much to ask? Like, I know that to the ear of the feminist, and people were saying it earlier in the chat, to the ear of the modern feminist, that is a no-no. Are you kidding me? Please a man? I'm going to mess with his life forever. Like, why would you mess up someone's mind and brain and comfort in life forever? Why not just be good to a man? Why not at least be neutral? Don't even be good. Don't be at his service. At least just don't hurt him. Don't try to use your everyday worries to hurt him, and you're going to find a man of quality. A call to action. Doctor calls on white men to show that they are dedicated to equity.
Hey, white men. Due to systemic and structural racism that black women have had to endure.
I see where you're going, and it's a no, but I will still hear it.
They only make 64 cents to every dollar that you make. So, as a fitting start to Black History Month, I want to take what you will make today.
No!
Multiply it by 64%, and then take that difference and give it to some black women today.
No. Absolutely misdirection of economic energy here. If black women are doing less, it is because they produce less. I cannot, as someone who produces more, give to the people who produce less, or else what does it mean? It means that people who produce more are not rewarded for producing more. And then I start asking myself, well, why don't I do like this black woman and take 4 months of vacation a year? Why don't I do like this black woman and take 5 years in a row where I don't work? So it doesn't work. We cannot redistribute wealth. Good idea in your mind, but bad idea anywhere else. AF Post says Wall Street banks are eliminating marijuana and other drug tests for prospective employees. It's kind of a degeneracy direction of society, so in that sense, I may be kind of against it because it's the lowering of standard. But in the end, marijuana is now legal in most places, so it's like I don't know that it can be a criteria for employment when it's legal. The new generation will all have tried marijuana at public schools. New York launches a $53 million program to hand out prepaid credit cards to migrant families. Free money taken from the pockets of the taxpayer and given to migrants, given to probably illegal migrants that have already committed a crime in entry of the U.S. and now they're getting rewarded for it. Meanwhile, we had the first strikes towards Syria showed up today. There was confusion in the coverage of Mario Nafal. At first, he was saying it's the U.S. striking Syria. Then he was saying, oh, no, it's not the U.S. It seems like it's Israel. But then it now seems that the more mainstream media have come up and have reported that, yes, it's the U.S. In any case, we have the U.K. who has announced that they will not join the U.S. strikes on Iran. Well, it's not really on Iran. It's on targets that are thought to be Iranian in the Middle East. He shared that London wants to avoid a broad regional conflict and calls on Tehran to demonstrate control over Iran-backed militias in Syria and Iraq. So even the great ally of the U.S., the U.K., is kind of calling the bullshit of the U.S. here. Because let's be clear, the U.S. has been receiving those attacks from Iran proxies hundreds of times, literally. They gave the count, it's something like 200 or 300 something times. It was the 300th time that the same kind of drone, the same kind of missile is thrown toward these bases. For this one time, the U.S. military made an error in interpreting the drone signal, and they thought it was a friendly drone. So for the first time after 300 attempts where it failed, the U.S. made an error, and it ended up killing 3 soldiers. It's kind of weird to use this as an excuse for upping the aggression. It's like it's your own incompetence here. not that. Oh, yes, there is aggression. You know, it was a drone of the enemy coming to hurt U.S. people. But it's like it's your incompetence that has, which is demonstrated by the fact that you succeeded at countering those attacks 300 times, but then you failed. Now you want to start a war on the basis that you failed. You want to. It's like the creator. It's like the humans. They make an error in manipulating the AI, and the AI, because of this human error, throws nuclear bombs to the humans. And then the human want to exterminate the AI. But the AI is like, it was a human error that led you to bombard yourself through an AI. It's a good argument. And the same could be said of the US right now. So unconfirmed footage of US airstrike in Syria.
No.
There may be some air defense here trying to stop the incoming missiles. Or maybe it's just missiles that are headed towards Syria, I don't know. Yeah, people don't know how to hold a cell phone to maximize the resolution of their screen. U.S. strikes at least 85 targets in Iraq and Syria, including from B-1 bombers. The Central Command Forces conducted airstrikes in Iraq and Syria against Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, Quds Force, and affiliated militia group. One important announcement that the U.S. has made as it was triggering those strikes, they will not strike inside Iran. So that seems to be the move of the U.S. to try to perhaps not escalate into World War III. I welcome this as a desirable thing. I don't know what it is that took Biden to do this, but for now they seem to be restricting strikes outside of Iran. There was doubt about this. But the United States officials state that there won't be airstrikes in Iran in response to the deadly drone attack. Biden, meanwhile, wants to force foster parents to sign LGBTQ pledge. Republican lawmakers and Christian organizations are reacting with outrage to a newly proposed policy by the Biden administration that would force foster parents to sign a contract agreeing to promote gender ideology in their homes. This is terrible. It's not that I care that much about the children who get adopted, because it's like genetically, you know, they're receiving the parental service from the wrong parent. So, like, if they could go out and not make babies, it may not be such a dramatic thing evolutionarily. But it's such a dirty penetration of society, because the fact is there are some Christian families that end up adopting for absolutely legitimate reason, not because the parent was untrustable, but there are parents that just die and they... And it would be good to have a basic system of support to care for children in a way that where the adoptive family resembles the original family, in a way that mimics the most of good parental care. But yeah, foster families are... Many foster parents are questionable, says Shamrock Shake. It's really not an ideal. I would argue for foster parenting as a last resort in society. Like your two parents have to be killed. They have to be dead, and all of your uncles and aunts have to be dead, and your grandparents have to be dead, and then maybe I'm for it, but it's like there would be a bloodbath before I allow foster parenting in my ideal world. What else do we have before we conclude the show? Bolton goes on CNN to rip Trump for having no inclination to support Ukraine. Well, that's John Bolton trying his best to influence toward Nikki Haley. But I think Nikki Haley is already a thing of the past. She's hanging on to the possibility of winning against Trump. She tried going hard at Trump, claiming that he was starting to divagate and that he had confused moments and all. But her attacks were extremely dishonorable, and really, I don't feel them true. I think that if you compare Trump and Biden, definitely Trump is cognitively there. He's becoming an old man, and that's not ideal for me. But unless we have... And so then you just pair it with a young man like Vivek, and then you have the superpower of them getting together. As long as we don't have a better option, Trump is the best available option. Fanny opens up. Fanny Willis admits to relationship with the dude she hired to get Trump. You get these black prosecutors, and they end up doing stuff that is unthinkable ethically. Like, she named, I talked about this already, but she named a special prosecutor to demonstrate her total isolation from the investigations against Trump, but she fucked that special prosecutor. Oh my God, the thirst for dick here is absolutely keeping us from having due process. So you have to choose. Either you're just fucking around, or you are making ethical decisions for the state in the pursuit of Donald Trump, but you can't do both. And finally, as a last news item, Joe Rogan signs a $250 million Spotify deal allowing podcast on X. So that is a very good outcome, because Joe Rogan was headed toward expiry of his contract with Spotify, and it had been a massive contract. It was in the many hundreds of millions, but Spotify had insisted that it would be an exclusive Spotify show then. Now that they've done a couple of years with Joe Rogan, and they've probably acquired a big user base from Rogan, because he still scores in the something like 10 to 11 million views for his podcast, even if on Spotify. Personally, Joe Rogan lost me as an audience member because he's only on Spotify. I'm not clicking on those green buttons. Are you kidding me? I did click to listen to the killer who killed his own father. 2 days ago, but that was my job. But in my entertainment moments, I do not click on Spotify links. Sorry. My God, 2 days ago, what was the name of the guy I covered? This guy was hilarious. Justin Moon. They came for Justin Moon. They came for Justin Moon. They knew where he had flown. They tracked him on his phone. They came for Justin Moon. They made him take a loan. Oh yeah, and I forgot an important news story. Thank you for reminding me, Stephen Robinson. Brett and Tucker, the interview. Absolutely ridiculous. I've made a meme about it because it was so laughable. This is the interview between Tucker Carlson and Brett Weinstein. Brett Weinstein went in Panama or whatever, you know, in the middle of America to observe the immigration phenomena with a microscope. But every biologist knows something, which is that if you look at an elephant with a microscope, it looks like an onion. Life is the same. So when you look too closely, all you see is a bunch of cells beside a bunch of other cells, and then you can be wondering, am I looking at the tissue of a mammal or the tissue of a plant or the tissue of a fish? Brett Weinstein decided to look at the immigration question by traveling in the middle of America and focusing on a camp in which there were lots of Chinese. And he was like, there were lots of Chinese in this camp. And Tucker was like, do you think it's the Chinese Communist Party? And he was like, it does seem, in the way they were behaving, they were kind of indicating, they were kind of hostile, they were kind of knowing that they were engaging in something wrong. And so I would think that maybe they're part of the communist, the Chi-Coms, yes. So what we have is a massive misdirection here that has been worked on by the forces of evil, I would say, literally. The people who are so evil that they seek to gatekeep and they seek to take over a legitimate anti-immigration discourse. And they inject false stuff in it so that it looks ridiculous. Alex Jones is a professional of this. But Brett Weinstein is now developing his own branch of this. By going at the border, or not at the border, but at this place in Central America, and saying, oh, well, I saw Chinese there. So, you know. And it's like, what the fuck? They've been working hard to make you hate the CCP. The whole Getter Gang, by the way, is a whole gang of Chinese revolutionaries who hate the CCP. And they tried infiltrating the Republican Party. So there's this whole kind of invasion of the Chinese question in America. But here that is totally misdirecting the attention of the people toward the true demographic question that truly matters. Which is, all right, you know, maybe Chinese spies are making it to the US to spy on America. Let's not let them do this. But the massive problem of America is that it's importing mostly these populations with extremely high murder rates into America. The Chinese spy in your neighborhood, it's a problem, but it's a very small problem. Small, 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 like 4 inch. 4 inch small, not intimidating at all. Thank you.